Welcome to the UK Housing Market Podcast. Today is episode 7, and we are going to be talking about 95% mortgages and how this impacts the housing market.
Welcome to the UK Housing Market Podcast
with your hosts
Anish Patel
and Thomas Honour.
Good morning, Anish. How's it going? 95% mortgages are back. What are your thoughts?
They are back, mate. So obviously the Sunday Times, or the Times, was correct from our for our sources last week. So we have credible sources. But yeah, mate, they're back. And it's just quite mad right now because obviously a lot of people are inquiring about this because this could mean a lot for people that potentially couldn't get on the housing ladder before without the use of schemes. So like Help to Buy and Shared Ownership, like, let's just get this clarified for all the listeners. This is like a traditional mortgage where it's you're putting down 5%, you're buying a property and you're taking a mortgage on the remainder 95%. So if you're buying a property worth £100,000, to make figures easy because I'm not the greatest at maths, put down £5,000 as a deposit and then £95,000 is what you take out as a mortgage loan. Simple as. There's no behind it.
And I think, I think we'll probably just get the facts out there quickly. I'm gonna take on the role of fact man this morning, mate. So 5% mortgage up to 600,000 in terms of property prices, which is quite generous. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I really like the fact that it's available for both new builds and second-hand homes, which I think is great. And first-time buyers and home movers as well. So you know, it's pretty much open for everybody. So that's pretty much what we know so far. Going to be launched in April 2021. All the big boys are involved by the looks of it. All the big banks are going to be involved. We don't know what rates are going to look like yet. You know, we've kind of really only heard what everyone else said on the budget last week. But, as soon as we know that, I'm sure there'll be lots of information coming out about it. I think that's pretty much it, isn't it, in summary, in terms of a nutshell. Obviously, we'll go in that and dissect that a bit more and how it impacts the housing market. But I think just to get those facts on the table right away, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I think so. I think the only other thing is, in terms of the mortgage guarantee, the way that works is the government will back 80% of the purchase price or the property value. So we'll talk about the sort of implications, so to speak, of house prices going down as well as up, because, you know, we're not just about saying, oh yeah, you're definitely going to go up in house prices. We'll basically cover every area, so you're aware of the pros and cons, I guess.
Yeah, we want to give a balanced view. You know, it's not all a bed of roses. You know, things, there's pros and cons for this. Good stuff. I mean, one of the things I will say, I'll get out there, and, you know, people that are listening will know our background, that, you know, we're in mortgage industry, is that the 95% mortgage doesn't mean you can borrow more money. So I'm getting people that I sort of spoke to before, and they're, you know, perhaps they've, you know, an 85 and 90% mortgage have been given their budget, and they're coming back and saying, oh, does this mean that now I can borrow more? No, you can only borrow the same as what you could on an 85 or 90%. Yeah. It just means you put in less deposit. So actually, your budget's decreasing, not increasing, technically. So this scheme only really works for people that probably got a reasonable affordability, but the thing that was holding them back was the amount of deposit. It doesn't really, in my opinion, benefit people that perhaps are on lower incomes or want to borrow more. You know, it doesn't really help those in any way. So it is the people that are, you know, their biggest issue was obtaining a deposit or savings to put forward.
Definitely.
So, we've had quite a lot of those, which, you know, there's a bit of confusion surrounding that. So I think it's, you know, it's got a good market there to help people onto the ladder, but definitely doesn't mean you can borrow more.
No, 100%, mate. And I think we need to put it out there as well, like, obviously, the affordability regarding how the loan is assessed will be similar to like 85 and 90% mortgages.
It's strict, isn't it? It's stricter. It's harsh, yeah.
It's very hard. But what I've been sort of telling a lot of people, so a lot of people probably know that I do a lot of TikTok videos, right? And I've been getting a lot of, not backlash, but comments regarding, I will never get this with adverse credit and things like that. And the truth is, you're probably going to need a really squeaky clean credit to get this. But that doesn't even mean that you will get the 95% mortgage. So what I've been explaining to, you know, people that I've been speaking to on social media and just general clients is, your credit report is one thing, but the lender's internal credit scoring system, which no advisor or bank manager can even tell you how it works, but you have to pass the internal credit scoring system to actually still qualify for the mortgage loan. So you could have the cleanest credit ever, but that still does not mean you're going to pass their affordability, internal affordability score.
Yeah, and I think we've seen that already, even at the 90% loan to value. Yeah. There's a well-known, one of the UK's biggest lenders who are currently offering 90% mortgages. But actually, even though when you submit it, you know, we do a lot of due diligence to make sure we think people are going to be eligible for it, check the credit report. Credit report scores have actually, you know, we've seen somewhere scores are really good. It looks like a squeaky clean case.
Yeah.
And then you put it through the lender and actually they're saying you can't get 90%, you can get 85%. And that's because they've got, you know, these hundreds, probably thousands of different criteria points and scoring systems, which is a very advanced science. Like you said, I don't think even, you know, people that work at the bank know exactly how it works. Right. So it's a massive algorithm, you know, it's like, yeah, that matrix.
It's like a social media algorithm, mate. No one knows, right?
Yeah.
No one knows how to get it. The only thing I say is, like, obviously we have contacts at the banks, right? Because we're intermediaries, so we're mortgage brokers. And even they can't explain it. Like, I've had cases where on paper, you know, like pre-COVID, they will just fly through. Like, you wouldn't even think twice about it. And now it's just, no one knows how these internal credit scores work. It's like the top man with the briefcase will know, and we'll never meet it, basically.
So I think that's the thing, is it's going to have to be squeaky clean. You know, we're already seeing it at 90% where some lenders are, you know, that they're putting the cases under more scrutiny than they are, say, 85% or 80%. So, yeah, we're definitely going to see the same on 95%. And again, that will vary lender to lender. You know, some lenders are stricter than others. If you get the climb of one, it doesn't mean you'll get the climb of another. But I think for sure, you know, it is for your blue chip clients. It's for the people that have got good credit, good incomes, etc.
Yeah, so on the base of that, it's just affordability could be the same. But the mortgage lender's internal credit score, they're not obliged to assess it on a 85% or a 90%. They can do whatever internal scoring system they want.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to say is that, interestingly, on this, you know, obviously, man like Rishi's had a good bit of publicity since the budget, particularly for our industry. But actually, looking between the lines, it looks like this is a self-funded scheme. So it looks like the lenders are paying in a premium into a pot, which is going to cover these losses. So we're sort of, you know, it's been billed that the government are going to indemnify it, but actually, it looks, looking through the finer details, actually, it's sort of a lender-funded scheme, which is an interesting way of doing it. I mean, potentially it's going to work, so it's all good. But yeah, like you said, it's sort of anything above the 80% loan-to-value mark is going to be indemnified and protect the lenders against any potential losses. Those losses are potentially greater when they're lending at higher loan-to-value mark in the higher loan-to-value regions. So this is just going to incentivize them to lend at that level because they're going to have that safety net, which is good. So how do you think it's going to impact house prices and housing market on a whole?
It's like you read my mind. I was going to ask you the same question.
I thought I'd get out of there quickly before you put me on the spot.
You know what? I've been speaking to a lot of people regarding this, and people ask me for my honest opinion on what they think house prices is going to be like. And to be honest, Tom, what I tell everyone is we are not estate agents or industry experts on properties. We can provide finance, but my general opinion, this is just my opinion, is 95% mortgages can work for a lot of people, and for some people they may not work. And what I mean by that is, like, it all depends on your overall scenario and your circumstances. So I've had a couple of clients who I've spoken to who are renting and they're paying high amounts of rent, right? And for them to get a 95% mortgage means that they could get a home for their family that they thought they could never get before, right? Because in today's age, even an additional 5% deposit, that's a lot of money. Money doesn't grow in trees.
Trying to save when you're renting is a hard task. Yeah. So yeah, it's useful for those people for sure.
Right. I wouldn't even know what I would have done. Like, when I got married, I lived at home for a year before I moved out. Luckily, my dad didn't charge me any rent or my mum. You know what I mean? So
big up Mr. and Mrs. Patel.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Without them, I wouldn't be where I am. But it's, I can totally understand, like, saving that money. And a lot of people are, oh, like, you get on social media, like a lot of my TikToks, and I keep going back on there, but that's where I'm getting a lot of engagement. People are like, oh, the housing market's going to crash. You know, 95% mortgages. This is just the way of the government to basically prop the housing market to inflate it again. But what about if, for example, like a negative equity situation? These are all valid points, right? But then people are like, oh, their interest rate's going to be high. Nothing comes for free in this world. And end of the day, what I tell everyone, it depends on your circumstances. So like that family that really want that home, right? They will commit to that house for the long term, even if it goes into a negative equity situation, because they know that eventually they will not move. Some people just will settle for that house because that is good enough for them. Whereas in some people who are not in that sort of situation, like, you know, first-time buyers who may not need to rush to go buy that property, and they could save because they're living at home with their parents, for example, the additional 5%. Of course, wait, I would always, like, to be honest, I would never say to rush into a 95% mortgage if you've got, if your circumstances dictate it, right? But there are a lot of people out there that this is a life-changing experience for them if they can get this property. And the stress of not knowing, a lot, not the stress of not knowing, but the stress of renting every month, right? Against this non-stress of owning your own home. It's, you know, it's a given, mate. Like, it just relieves stress knowing that you can provide for your family and you've got a roof over your head, which one day will be yours. So that's what I've been telling my clients. So I don't know what you've been sort of saying on your side, mate.
I think you raise a valid point. I think old Bojo, you know, he's billed this as turning generation rent into generation buy, is it? I got that right.
Yeah, mate.
Which is exactly that, because, you know, this is going to work quite well for people that are in rented that, yeah, are paying, you know, a big premium to rent each month. So they can probably afford the mortgage payments from an affordability perspective, but just haven't had enough surplus income each month to save a decent sized deposit of 10-15%, which, you know, is understandable. House prices are huge. It's incredibly difficult to save. So it's going to really help those people. And I can see that. I don't know. I don't think it's going to have massive impact on house prices going up or down. I think it's, you know, I think stamp duty has probably influenced the house prices more than anything that I've seen in recent times, because people are willing to pay that bit more to save on the tax. Will this scheme do something similar? I don't think it will, to be honest. I think it's good. It's going to help those generation rent get to generation buy. But yeah, I think house prices will still settle down once the stamp duty ends towards the end of this year. And yeah, I don't see 95% mortgages perhaps making a difference to the house prices or the housing market in terms of, you know, what price is going to go up or down. But I think it's definitely going to open some doors for people that ordinarily perhaps couldn't have done something before, which is good.
Yeah, mate. And also, like, you hit the nail on the head, like, regarding the stamp duty, right? So I think the government, to be honest, this scheme is going to be around until December 2022, if I'm correct.
That's it, yeah.
But the stamp duty exemption is only, you know, what is it, 500,000 until end of June, and then 250,000 no stamp duty until the end of September, right? Now, these 95% mortgages, they're low deposit mortgages for people that have a low deposit. Now, if they're going to have to start paying stamp duty again, I think that's going to impact it as well, to be honest, because stamp duty, you know, like, a lot of people work so hard to save that 5%, 10%, whatever it is, and then you've got the stamp duty. That's like another...
That's the deposit. You know, like, that's the 10% deposit they would have had.
I honestly hate stamp duty. I think it's just the government just fleecing everyone and taking their money for no reason, just to say, you know, like, we're giving you this piece of land, give us this much money. You know, I just think it's ridiculous, to be honest.
Mate, get the petition. Get it out there.
Get the petition. What do we need, 100,000 signatures?
Well, what are we on now? We must be on 100,000 listens a week on this pod. Yeah. There you go. There's 100,000 signatures straight away, mate. Get that in Parliament. But just for the record, we're not quite 100,000 listens just yet. But this time next year, maybe.
Not 100,000, but must be 900,000, like 900, no. 999,
right
there. Yeah. But yeah, no, like, Tom, one thing. Obviously, we can't dictate interest rates, right? Now, you've probably had the question, interest rates are going to be really high for these type of mortgages. So what's your opinion on this? You know, what do you tell your people that you speak to? Like, from my personal opinion, it is what it is, you know?
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what's going to happen with this, because I've been surprised a few times. You know, logically, you would think they're going to be higher priced than the current 10% deals, which... You know, best rate on the market at the moment is, at time of recording, but say best rate, lowest rate on the market at the moment is 3.09 from you know, at the point of recording, but they can go anything up to sort of 3.99 on a 2-year fix. So logically, you would think that a 5% mortgage would be higher than that. So you might be looking at rates at 3.49 to 4.49. Yeah. But with this guarantee, I don't know whether that's going to influence it. I think... half expecting a bit of surprise that the rates might not be, you know, as chunky as the 10, but we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see the knock-on effect that the 5% deals have on the 10% deals, because we might see those, kind of hoping we see those rates come down as a result of the 5% being launched. But honestly, Matt, I don't know. I've just been saying to kind of people that I've been speaking to, we just got to wait and see what happens. You know, I think the good thing is that there's quite a few lenders involved. You know, he mentioned who was involved, Barclays, Halifax, all the big guys. Virgin, I've received an email this morning saying Virgin are going to be, I know he mentioned that they were going to join shortly after. So I think the good news, because it's going to be spread across a number of lenders, that gives us the best chance of seeing some more competitive rates than there would have been if it was like, you know, back when the 10% deals come back around and we had one lender offering them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they can charge whatever. Yeah, you can charge whatever rate they wanted. Although the rates are still quite favourable. They can charge whatever rate they wanted because there's no competition and it was so in such, you know, supply and demand. You know, so whereas, it was awful. Still getting sleepless nights about logging on at HSBC at 7 in the morning.
8 o'clock
something. Yeah. So I think, that you know, the fact that all these lenders have signed up already means that there's, you know, there should be, you know, quite evenly balanced. But honestly, mate, who knows? You know, I don't know what to expect. I'm just going to wait and see. Hopefully we'll know more about what those rates look like before the 1st of April. I'm hoping information will start to trickle out towards the end of this month. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. And like I say, the knock-on effect of what happens to the other 10% and 15% rates as well. Right, will be interesting to see.
Honestly, like, I'm not saying this because I'm recording this podcast with you, but they are wise words, right? Because that's what I've been telling my clients as well. And the reason being is, obviously, I don't know about you, but we're in a lot of like mortgage broker forums and communities, right? And people have their say, and it's just like, you can't comment on something that's not been released yet. Like, I've had clients who've called me up saying, oh, I've spoken to this broker. Well, not potential clients. And they're like, I've spoken to this broker and they've said, oh, we can borrow this much on a 95% mortgage. I was like, is it? I didn't even know that we could, you know, assess the affordability already, you know, like I would never put my name to something until they've actually been released. And I think you hit the nail on the head. Like if the mortgage guarantee is covering the 95% mortgage or 80% on the value, what will happen to 90% mortgage deals? They may go down in rates, you know, like we could be surprised. Who knows? You know,
yeah, it's going to be interesting, mate. It's going to be, I think one thing we do know for sure is we're going to be busy, we're going to be busy, which is good. But yeah, I think the at this stage, time of recording, 10th of March, this will go out, 12th, 13th of March, And you know, at this point, we don't know, but you know, probably within the next couple of weeks, we might know more. And as we do, we'll share it with you guys as we always do. But for now, it's, I think, you know, the good news is they are back, 5% deposits. Yet to be seen what those deals look like.
I think before we sort of wrap up, I think we should go into what negative equity means, because a lot of people may not actually know what that means, because that's a lot, you know, like in terms of how that could implicate them if they took a 95% mortgage, for example, as well.
I was reading that article. You hand that over to me, mate. I'll
answer. Mate, you're the wise man now. I've called you wise. Everyone's expecting it from you.
Is that because I'm old? Is it?
No, mate. I think you're younger than me.
36 this year, mate.
Yeah, I'm all right. So you're older than me by like a year. You're wiser than me.
No hair as well, you know. So there we go. So yeah, I was reading an article this morning actually about and I remember these. I don't know if you remember them, but the old 125% mortgages that Northern Rock used to offer.
Oh, wow. I've got
quite a few. Yeah. You'd basically get 100% mortgage, or up to 95% in some cases. So they'd mortgage it all out, and then you could get like an unsecured personal loan on top.
Yeah.
And obviously, when shit hit the fan in 2008, there was loads of negative equity, and obviously that didn't go down too well. So, you know, people are kind of right. I wouldn't say right, but you know, I expect people to be concerned because people have been through a similar period not that long ago. Essentially it just means that the mortgage that you've got exceeds the value of the property, essentially. Yeah. That's negative equity, and there is a chance that there's a higher chance of that happening with the higher loan to value products of 95%. Again, using simple maths, because like Anish, I'm not a great mathematician. We've got two mortgage advisors that are awful at maths, which is good, isn't it?
We've got calculators.
Calculators. So let's say £100,000, you taking a mortgage at £95,000. A negative equity scenario would be that that house price that started up at £100,000 could go down to say below 95,000, essentially. So it could go down to £90,000, and all of a sudden you've now got a negative equity scenario where your mortgage exceeds the value of the property. So that's what, you know, people are going to be cautious of that. And that's what the lenders have been reluctant to come back into the market for, because in the event they had to repossess those properties, i.e. the applicants fell behind with their payments, then they're going to make a loss because they can't sell the property to recover the debt. So yeah, you know,
so Rishi comes in, right?
Man like Rishi saves the day, and the guarantee is in place to protect those lenders in that scenario. So the lenders won't be missing out. You as applicants, I guess, have still got to be mindful of that, because the guarantee doesn't really protect you if you want to sell your house. So you're keeping up to date with your payments, but you want to sell your house 2 years down the line and your house value has gone down. You know, you might have no equity in that house at all. So yeah, it's something to be mindful of. As with any high loan to value mortgage product, even the 10% deals that could potentially happen. We haven't got a crystal ball. We don't know what's going to happen with house prices. So yeah, it is something that you need to be mindful of and consider and decide whether you're happy with that calculated risk, I guess.
Yeah. I think a question that I've been getting asked is, like, for example, if we took out a 2-year fixed rate and then just say the negative equity situation did happen, what would be my options, you know, in terms of remortgaging? Now, I can't comment as of, you know, what's going to happen in the future. I can just give you my views on what I think could happen. And what happens usually is that your existing lenders usually offer you existing customer rates. So I don't think they'll disadvantage you by going onto their standard variable rate, for the people that don't know what the SVR is, which is quite high, depending on the lender. I think they would offer you a existing customer rate where you can just switch from one product to another, because pretty much all the existing mortgage lenders offer those type of deals, because they can't sort of put you in financial difficulty in terms of your monthly payment going sky high. They've taken on the risk by giving you the mortgage in the first place. So I think they will be looking after your financial interests as well going forward. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think they've got an obligation to offer you something. Now, whether that rate is the same rate or whether it's slightly higher, it's going to be dependent on, you know, let's say you take out a rate 4%. No, I don't know the rates. I'm just giving you that as an example. 4%, you know, now in 2 years' time, you're in a negative equity scenario. They're not obliged to offer you 4% again, because rates might have gone up at that point. So it might be 4.25, could be 4.5 even, but they will offer you something
competitive,
which is competitive and an alternative to just switching to their standard variable rate. But likewise, again, we need to give a balanced view. It could work in the other way. We might see that rates come down as a result of this, the market becomes buoyant. And in 2 years' time, you know, there might even be a lower rate, even if you're a negative. We just don't know. But yeah, there will always be an option that your existing lender will offer you, almost always, unless there's a reason for them not to, such as you've not kept up to date with your monthly mortgage payments, or something else has come to light where it means you've breached the contract. But assuming that you meet the T's and C's, you know, you're not renting it out when you're saying you're going to live in it or vice versa. Keep up to date with your monthly mortgage payments. Yeah. You know, particularly the lenders that we're talking about, the big high street lenders, they're going to offer you an existing customer deal to switch on to.
I think the last thing I want to touch on is that, forget the stamp duty extension and things like that, right? Like, everyone's got views on this. So we've got our views, but the amount of people that, you know, like we've got probably more insight than other people because we deal with it day to day. Now, if you're just a normal person listening to this podcast, everyone's friends are going to say different things. You know, like, everyone says, oh, don't buy now, don't do this. But all I would advise everyone is do your own research. Just like before, when you're searching for properties, like, as again, forget the stamp duty extension. Check the house prices. Keep tabs on Rightmove and Zoopla on what's going on with the property market. You know, how has the house price increased? How long has the property been on sale for? Has it been reduced? You get an idea there as well, like, in terms of what area you're looking to buy, because it's not just about house prices in general. It depends what part of the country you're looking to buy in as well at the same time. So do your own research and don't just listen to your mate, you know, like, how can I say, your mate Bob down in the pub, as everyone likes to say.
You wish, mate. You wish. down the pub.
It's April 12th, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, my mate Dave down the pub told me I could get this.
That's what I mean. Like,
it's a good point, because, you know, often we see the headlines of house prices have gone up or house prices have gone down, but it's a UK headline when actually, particularly where you are, London, you know, is a very resilient market.
Yeah.
Much as the southeast, whereas you might find that in the northeast or, you know, other areas of the country, it might be going down, which is bringing down the average. But just because the UK prices are doing one thing, your local area might well be doing something else. So look at it on a local level. But you're right, you know, Zoopla, Rightmove, there's lots of information on there, lots of different reports and insight that you can get onto what's happening with house prices. It's really actually, you know, it's worthwhile looking at if you're sad and like housing like us.
Yeah, mate, I've got this tip for everyone, actually. So there's this guy on TikTok I've been following. He's great. He's called The Anxious Investor, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's this thing you could basically download called a property log.
Yeah.
And it gives you, because when you go and write move, it doesn't really tell you everything. Now, this plug on, I can't remember exactly how it works, but it plugs on and it tells you about house prices, what's originally listed for, when it went down, the value it's gone down by, you know, like, it gives a lot more information and it plugs onto the Rightmove app somehow. So
nice.
I think, yeah, I'm going to find out more about it. But if anyone wants to know about it, just reach out to one of us because I'll pass on the details to you so we exactly know what it is. But it's definitely going to be helpful.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I've not heard that before, so I'll be keen to find out if you can get anything across, yeah, mate. Yeah. Maybe we can stick it in the comments on the Facebook page. That'd be good.
Yeah.
One last thing before we go, probably the most important subject of the day. Come on, you Spurs! Three wins and the bounce, mate. We're back.
Gareth Bale's back.
His best. Kane at home. Is smashing it. Sonny's a bit jealous because Kane's got a new strike partner.
New best friend now, mate.
We're back, mate, and the big one on Sunday probably the game that, mate, we look forward to and also hate in equal measures.
Yeah,
big North London derby. So I'm gonna not say much more on that because I won't want to get absolutely hammered by a load of Gooner fans during the week. But I'm quietly confident. I'm hoping we can do the business.
Well, let's just get past Dynamo Zagreb tomorrow.
Yeah,
and then let's see what we get on Sunday. I don't even want to speak about it.
Typical fickle Spurs fan here.
Oh, mate. Perfect. I think that's a wrap, mate. What do you think?
Mate, this episode's been good. I reckon it's our best one to date. So, yeah, I'm happy. Good. Well, thanks for tuning in. All the normal stuff. Subscribe, post, share, like, 5 stars, whatever you want.
Tom, you said it.
Show us your love and we appreciate it. So we'll be back on next week.
Wicked. See you guys soon.
Cheers, mate.
The latest UK property news.